to see you today. Thanks for coming to church. We're glad you're here. We're going to be in Genesis 17 today. Matter of fact, we're going to get by one verse and one verse alone. I know you find that surprising when I'm preaching or teaching, and we only cover one verse. But that's where we're going to be at today. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis 17, Genesis 17, 1. It says, now when Abram was 99 years old, I don't think we have any of those folks here, but 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Good stuff wrapped up in that verse. We're going to talk about it. Father, we love you and give you praise for being so kind to us. And Lord, you're kind to us, and that you are the one who is willing to reach out to us first and offer the covenant of forgiveness. Yet you have expectations of us if we're going to accept that covenant. And so, Lord, I'm assuming folks are here today and listen online because they desire to live in eternity with you. And so, Lord, sometimes we get a little wonky about what it means to get to eternity. What it means is you picked us. And we're grateful you gave us that grace to be picked by you to be in eternity. Father, help our hearts to be turned toward you today. And if there's a level of repentance that needs to happen on our part, Lord, help us to repent to you. And so thank you for being God Almighty. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Let's be standing as we sing. Every walk starts with a step. So we're going to go step by step
this morning. To the Lord in prayer for just a bit here. Dear Father God, you know, sometimes we are weak. Our voices are weak, our bodies are weak, our minds can be weak. So Father, we just take the song that we just sung and we take it step by step. We take life step by step. We do the right thing in the next step. And Father, we ask you to multiply those steps into a walk. So, Father, that we can become the sanctuary that we're going to sing about in the next song. We have a church sanctuary, and we also have a heart sanctuary, and we have people that can be our sanctuary, people that we know will lead us to you if we have any question or concern or care. So, Father, help us be those sanctuaries. Help this body of believers be a sanctuary for everybody around us. Help us to be so close to Christ that it's indescribable. Father, we want to be true to you. We want to be a reflection of you. And we just ask your help in that. We ask your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And we ask our nation to care about you, your hallowedness, your righteousness, your reverence, and be reverent to you. Help us be repentant. Jeff's prayed that earlier. Help us be repentant, Father, so that we care about what you think. Father, again, help us be sanctuaries. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Turn our hearts and minds to communion this morning. We're going to sing a request. Jim Bullock has our communion meditation for us, and he wanted a song about promises, and so we're going to sing, we're going to stand. That's why I've let you sit for so long. We're going to stand on his promises from 2 Peter 1:4. It says, "Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises."
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, Lord, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the heaven storms without a fearless sail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing.
be seated as men come forward for communion.
Yeah, as I was talking to Deb on the phone about my community song, another one, after I hung up, another one came to my mind. It was Leaning on the Promises. These two songs have much to do with what have we all in our heart and mind. When you're standing on the promises, it's deep in our heart to want to reach out to someone who is feeling weak, and most of all, who needs the promises of God within the heart. And when you lean on promises, you are comfortable with the promises that God has given to you. Even though sometimes it's hard to accept. In Hebrews 11, it talks about people of faith. On the last verse, it says, of Hebrews 11, it says this, all this was commanded for their faith, but none of them received the part of what was promised. God had a plan to set the better for us, so that only together in the promises that God had gave us, we can be made perfect. One, because of sin of the past and sin of the future, we cannot be perfect. And most of all, but through the grace and mercy of God, and be willing to accept and examine our hearts and mind, we can be made perfect through these promises. But what are some of the promises God has given to us? He promised that his Son will return to leave who is faithful to him to the land of paradise. Paradise, what is paradise? To me, paradise, we are on the right hand of God. And not like the one who do not accept the promises, the footstool of God. Another promise is that there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, just total health within his love. But why does God make these promises? That's going to hurt us. He makes his promises that so we can change the track or the path that we are on and lean or even stand on the promises that God has given to us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the promises that you have given to us and the promises that you have given to Isaac and the promises you give to Ishmael. Let's not all stand firm in your promises and not go astray, so we do not have to wait on the promises that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
much for the promises that you give us. Most of all, the promise to take care of us. Let us all be willing to give a good back to you, what you have given to us, back to you, so all you promises to the kingdom of above. Jesus' name.
Paige, is the mic working today? I think we had battery issues last week. Yeah, sounds good. I always tell the young kids in the back, I say, if you're on sound booth and if you can hear the guy up front perfectly, it's too soft for the older folks. Turn her up. Guess who's joined the older folks crowd? Me. As we go to our prayer time today, I want to encourage you of something. Our family had an extremely busy day yesterday, and I'll try to elaborate on that more in just a little bit. But Jim was talking about promises and his communion time and some of the songs that Deb sang with us today. There's a great verse in Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "The steadfast of mind you keep in perfect peace because they trust in you." Isaiah 26, 3. "The steadfast of mind you keep in perfect peace because they trust in you." And so yesterday, I had multiple opportunities, challenges that are still challenging today. And the verse that kept coming back to me was that verse, "The steadfast of mind, you'll keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." And so when you are having a moment, and if you haven't had a moment yet this week, it's coming. What are you doing? You say, "What do you mean?" Well, we pause in the middle of our service time as a means to train ourselves to pause when there are moments that are really challenging. You say, "What if I don't have time to pause and seek the Lord?" Well, maybe you don't. But you can where in your heart. You can do that. And so train yourselves that when you have a need that goes beyond what anybody in the round can meet, you know only God can, because remember, the steadfast of mind you keep in perfect peace because they trust in you. If I'm going to take the time to sit alone with Jesus and be alone with him, it's because I do what? I trust him. And as he trusts you, what's going to happen to your heart? You'll have peace. Does that mean anything around you has changed? No, it does not. It means it could even get worse. But when you trust the Lord, you're going to have peace. And so let's pause and seek his presence for peace. Lord, you are so peaceable. There's just no other way to describe your presence in our life. And Lord, there's so many things in this world that would choose to rob us of that perspective that your presence is not with us. That couldn't be farther from the truth. And so, Lord, we know your presence is with us. And as we contemplate that and realize that, it helps us to move through times of difficulty and even times of blessing, because we know either in blessing or difficulty, you're still there with your presence that gives us peace. So, Lord, help us to put that into practice this week. Help us to practice your presence, that people can see the peace of you in us. And, Lord, when we don't get that right, help us to seek you for forgiveness and move back into your presence. We love you, Jesus, and pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, if you got your Bibles, get there to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. Got a quick question for you this morning as we're contemplating Genesis 17 together. Is how important is it to you, how important is it to you to be accepted and picked by God? Or put it another way, how important is it to you to be picked and accepted by God? I had a chance to move around a lot when I was a kid, and for a season of time, my family lived in a town called Kirksville, Missouri. Have you ever heard of Kirksville, Missouri? Okay. And so I went to college in Kirksville, Missouri, and it was supposed to be a four-year degree at the Northeast Missouri State. It used to be teachers before that. Now it's changed again. Can't remember the name now. Truman, thank you, thank you. And the T-shirt in those days was Northeast Missouri State, the best 5 years of your life, because it took you 5 years to get through a degree there. It did for sure me. But I want to go before that. That was my second or third time living in Kirksville. But the first time I lived in Kirksville, my parents had moved to a set of apartments. We were having trouble. Anybody remember the trouble on the farm back in the 70s? We had trouble. And so we moved to Kirksville, and there was a place, a group of apartments up there, pretty new apartments back in the 70s, and they were called Firefox Apartments, I think. And I can recall as a kid, I had an orange bicycle, had a black racing pinstripes down it, had white handlebar grips and had chrome handlebar. And I was riding around to the around this apartment complex, and the apartments are up on a bank, and there's a long, steep stairwell down to the parking lot. And I remember seeing these group of kids standing at the top of the stairwell looking down this huge stairwell, huge stairwell. I mean, it seemed to me like it's 3 miles long when you're just a kid. And I rode over my little bike, you know, and this little bike didn't have pneumatic tires, it had solid rubber tires. Rode over to those guys, and they didn't know me, and I didn't know them. They go, hey, if you want to be part of our group, you got to ride down these stairs in that bike. I went, ooh, really? I was just shocked. I said, really? And I said, yeah. I won't call him Joey or Jimmy. Little Joey Jimmy here, he did it yesterday. And I looked at that kid, and I'm telling you what, his face looked like he'd hit every step on the way down. Blood coming down his face, lip cut open, and it just, whoa. And I went, I'm not going. And I pedaled my local bike away. And I say that because it doesn't matter, no matter where you go, it seems like there's always going to be someone who has a sense of a standard for you to meet to be accepted by them. And you know that's true because we're all adults and we've done it before to people and they've done it to us. And that is for you to be accepted by others in some way, you have to be in agreement with them. All people do this. We've done it. And all people groups do this. You must agree to their acceptance standard to be accepted by them. For example, if you're a kid who lives in a big city and you want to play on a basketball team, you first got to go through what? Tryouts. Because you just can't go on the basketball team like you can in Worth County anywhere else. You got to have tryouts. And if you make the tryouts, well, you've made the standard. And so the coach agrees that you've made the accepted standard and you get to be on the team, okay? I don't know how long it's been since some of you applied for college, but when you apply for college, what things you got to have available? Well, money is true, yeah. That is true. It's true. However, I found that I had to have an ACT score, had to have an SAT score, I had to have a registrar look at my high school curriculum, what I went through. And if I met all those standards of admission, then I could be admitted to the college, and the college would agree that I've made their standard, and I could be accepted into college. And it's everywhere that happens, there's an agreed standard to be accepted by people and people groups. So I ask that question, or bring that up, because I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about two people. I want you to think about God, and I want you to think about people. Okay, think about God and think about people. Who do you give a greater priority in receiving an agreed acceptance? Do you want it more from God, or do you want it more from people? And I hear we're saying, and the right answer in church is who? That's the right answer in church, right? But when the rubber meets the road, when we leave this building, what is the true answer? Am I really looking for acceptance from God, or acceptance from people? And you say, well, what's my motivation, preacher? I mean, seriously, if I want What's my motivation? Wanting to be accepted and regarded by people. What's my motivation? Well, for example, if you want travel the route of people being your priority for acceptance. In other words, if you go through life, I want people to accept me. I want people to like me. If they don't, I'm just going to eat worms. You've heard that song probably, right? Okay. Anyway, we go through life wanting people to accept us. And so think about this just for a moment. It's hard to say how long people will accept you by their standard. It could be a minute or two. And it could be maybe an hour or two. It could be a week or two, a month or two. It may even be a year or two. And if you're fortunate enough, in rare cases, some people may accept you and regard you in your life for all the time they live on the earth. Any idea how long people live? The national average? 99 years. No, that's not true. 72. 72 years is a nationwide average that a person will live. So here's the deal. Think about this for a moment. You may want people's acceptance. You may want people to value. You want people to regard you. You may want all those things, but you're going to only have their acceptance and regard for how long at best? 72 years. That's it at best, okay? Here's something to conclude logically this morning. How long does God live? God never dies. He always has and always will be. That means logic would conclude, I must be more concerned about whose acceptance? God's acceptance. I must be more concerned about his regard for me, his acceptance for me. I must be more concerned about his standards of acceptance than I am for who? People. I must be more concerned about getting God's acceptance in my life than others. So here's a thought. Then how can I, because we really must ask this question, how can I spend my life on earth being in an agreed standard of acceptance with God to spend an eternity in acceptance with God? You see what I'm saying? You have a life on earth. We already talked about how much time are you given on earth on average? 72 years. That means you must spend your life on earth pursuing an agreed acceptance with God so you can spend an eternity with God. And that means that with every agreement on any two parties, there's always an expectation. Did you realize God has an expectation of you? If you want to be in agreed acceptance with God, he has an expectation for you. He has an expectation for you to meet so that you can receive his acceptance. You say, what happened to grace? That is grace. God didn't have to give you anything for you to be accepted by him. But that's grace for him to give you, if you will, a recipe, and I hate to use the word recipe, but I don't know how else to conjure up that thought in my mind. God gives you an idea of what he expects from you. Now, first of all, are you motivated to do that? Are you motivated today to have a thought process that says, I want to experience God in eternity? And so since I want to experience him in eternity, I think I should find out what his expectations are of me. And I want to meet those expectations. And so in our text today, in Genesis 17, verse 1 and 2, you're going to see in verse 2 that God's going to make a covenant with Abraham. But preceding that, in verse 2, God has expectations. I believe God is spelling out for Abraham in that moment. And so God is about to be in covenant with Abraham. We've been using that word covenant as we study through Abraham. And we're going to find that God has an expectation of Abraham. And you may be asking today, well, what does that have to do with me? How come I would even care that God has an expectation of Abraham? Because that's in the Old Testament, it's an old guy, and I'm in the New Testament, and I'm a new guy. What does that even matter to me? It does matter because the Bible says this. Look at this in Galatians 3, okay? Page, go to slide 2. It's not pulling up there. Galatians 3, 7 through 9, okay? Let's read this together. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Whoa, did you hear that? That means you're related to Father Abraham, had many sons. And so who's sons and daughters of Abraham? Us here. How come? Because of faith. Because of faith. It's not on the screen, but I'm going to read it to you. You're welcome to go there if you want it from your Bible. It's in Genesis 3. Listen to this. It says that, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. That means we're related to Abraham. So that means his faith is our faith. Okay? Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. You and I are Gentiles. We're justified by faith. And announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. We talked about Abraham. All nations are going to be blessed through Abraham. That's coming up later in Genesis 17. Everybody's going to be blessed through Abraham. So think about that. Abraham's faith is whose faith?
Abraham's faith was whose faith? Our faith. Have you been blessed by the faith of Abraham? Yes, you have. Because you've been reading about him, studying with him with me, going through sermons in with me, and we understand that. So look at this. So those who rely on faith, listen, so those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham. So now Paul makes a connection that Galatians